So anyway, we're pray for AB as you think about him, and we'll have a prayer for him at the end of the service. It'll be a shorter service tonight. I've got a question for you. We are all here for the same reason. When I say here, we're here upon this earth and alive. All for the same reason, because God wants us, all of us, to serve him. So the question I would ask tonight would be this: how will you serve God? Because each one of us have a way that we can serve God. Every one of us. There's nobody here who cannot serve God in some way. So when a person is saved or born again, God gives through the Holy Spirit certain gifts and abilities. Not everyone is given the same gift or ability. There are various thoughts and understandings about what the gifts might consist of and where in Scripture they are listed. So one of the places that the gifts are discussed is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's turn there and look at what it says. Now, I want you to understand that God does not give the same gift to each person. Each one receives his or her gift to be used for the glory of the Lord. The gift does not make any of us special, and not everyone has every gift. There are those who do not seem to have gifts. They do have, but we don't see them manifest, we don't see them displayed. As we begin looking at the gifts, we'll start in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Where to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self-Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, God gives us some of these are not all the gifts, by the way. We're going to look at some more gifts in just a minute. But these gifts are gifts that I guess we would say the Pentecostals have sort of overemphasized, to the point where there are Baptists that don't want to talk about the gifts. Because there was a time when speaking in tongues was a big thing, and actually it was meaningless. Paul dealt with that in the book of Corinthians. When a person speaks in tongues, nobody understands them unless there is somebody there to interpret those tongues. And usually when it was talking about talking in tongues, it was talking about speaking in a known, published language. And then if a person was going to interpret, like somebody here in a group would speak French, that might be her. And then others might speak Spanish or Arabic or any number of languages. God knows all the languages because God made them all. And it was at the Tower of Babel that he dispersed mankind by language. Because they could not understand each other, they all went their own way. And that's what God did at the Tower of Babel. So God created those other languages. If we consider each gift mentioned, there are 10 gifts mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But that is not all of the gifts given by the Spirit. If we look a little deeper into the giving of gifts, we will find more in this chapter. Look at verses 28 through 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 31. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Have all the gifts of healing? Okay, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There are only 3 new gifts mentioned here: apostles, prophets, and teachers. Understanding that it is God who gives these gifts through His Holy Spirit. Not everyone can teach. Not everyone should teach. Not everyone can be an evangelist. Not everyone should be an evangelist. And not everyone can be a prophet. But God puts people in this life who have this gift, and they are able to do the things that prophets do. They're able to do the things that teachers do. God also gives us certain abilities, such as singing and speaking, which not each person has. Now it's up to us to determine what gift or ability that God has given. Each gift and each ability are to be used to glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all people have all of these gifts or abilities. There's something that we need to be aware of. If you don't have a particular gift, then don't try and exercise it. That's a very important concept. Giving is a gift from God, and if you don't have it, you should not try and give. God actually makes giving a gift. There are those who can give, those who do. And God blesses them, and God makes it possible for them to do that. We've had some of those folks in our church. They've gone home to be with the Lord. There were some who were very generous in their giving. That's a gift that you don't always see. You don't see it everywhere. So, not all people have the ability to do some of the things that God gives others ability to do. There are people who should not try and sing, because they don't sound like a broken record. They sound like a cat that's been stepped on. And they screech rather than sing. And so there are those who would have to find their gift in another area. But everyone, there is no one without a gift from God. And I can't emphasize that strong enough. God has given each one of you a gift of some kind. He wants you to use it. He gives it to you to be used. My first wife, when she would be given a gift, a lot of times we put it away in the box that she received it in, and that gift would sit there for years and never be used, never be reopened or at least if it was opened, it would be looked at, closed up, put away again. When God gives you something, God gives it to you to be used. When He blesses you with unexpected finances, He expects you to use those finances to help other people. If God gives you the ability to fix things, that's an ability that God has given you. He's given you the mental ability to figure things out, how they work and what needs to be done. And so He expects you to use that gift to help others fix the things that are broken or things that need repair. So some believers have certain special gifts. Some believers don't. It's important that each of us determine what gifts we have been given. That is very, very important. You should know what your gifts are. And it may be more than one. It may be two or three gifts, because God wants to use you in two or three different ways. But when He gives you a gift, it's important that you know what that gift is, and then that you exercise that gift. We're wasting resources if we don't exercise the gifts that we are given. When you exercise your God-given gift, if it's singing, do it with enthusiasm. Don't be shy. We looked at a word this morning, that feeble-minded. Another translation for that word is shy. Small spirit. So, do whatever you do with enthusiasm, because it is a God-given thing that you're doing. Don't sing like it were a funeral dirge, unless it is a funeral dirge. So, God gave you that gift to glorify Him. He's the one that you are serving. A song sung in one of our services should be dynamic and sung with reverence for the one we're singing about. It should be with feeling and with the purpose of glorifying one of God's three persons. If you're painting a room, then you should be doing the very best job you can do. That's an important job, and it has to be done as far as the testimony of the person who's doing it, that it's a good job. It should look like you cared about what you were doing. You cared about the place you're painting, and that your motive might be to glorify God or to make it, to improve it for someone else. Other people are going to be the recipients of the gifts that God has given you. And that's why God has given it to you. God does have some instructions for each of us as we exercise our gifts. I know that it's Old Testament, but this is what instructions we are given. Deuteronomy 10:12 tells us, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." We're told to put everything we have into whatever we do for the Lord. We are instructed by God, not man or the pastor, to do it with all of our heart and soul. there should be some emotion involved even when we practice. Even when we practice. We should sound like we mean everything that we are saying or doing. Now, God gives a strange instruction to all those who serve Him. Look at this verse out of Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. Give you a minute to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. It tells us, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him." Now, I read that verse as I was preparing this message, and I thought, wait a minute, what's he talking about? What a strange instruction. How does a person cleave to the Lord? We're told that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How do we go about cleaving to a spirit? God is a spirit. I looked up the word, and here's what I found. There are two meanings for the word cleave. One is to separate by dividing with a cleaver or sharp knife, like you would a piece of meat. But there is another meaning, and the two meanings for the word cleave. The first one, separating with a knife or a cleaver, is not the one we want. The other word, cleave, means to adhere to or to be faithful to. Now, that is how we can deal with God. We can be faithful to Him or adhere to Him and His principles. I think that's what God had in mind when He told us to cleave to Him. He was telling us to be faithful. Don't get separated by the world or fatigue. Stay close to God as your Savior. It is possible for us to get tired. And we all do. Especially those of us who are older. We don't have the energy we used to have. And we will expend that energy. And all we want to do is sit down. And maybe even turn on the TV and see what has happened while we've been doing all these things. But we are to be faithful to the Lord. And I believe that the things that can separate us from faithfulness is the world and fatigue. We can become tired and not be able to serve like we intend to or don't feel like serving. Like I said, there are times when we get tired. We have invested our energy into our jobs or some other endeavor that has sapped our strength. And we don't have much energy left to expend. That's not the time that we should choose to serve the Lord. If we're going to serve the Lord, we should give Him our best, not what is left over. God does not like second best. God always does things first class. When Connie and I were at the camp, people would give things to the camp. They'd say, "Oh, we got a stove. Two of the burners are burned out, but maybe the camp can use it." And so they would give the stove. All they were doing was trying to get rid of their trash. They didn't know what to do with it. Or they would have a hot water heater that was burned out, and they'd say, oh, we'll give that to the camp. Somebody gave them a 1,000-gallon propane tank because they got done with it and didn't know what to do with it. So all this stuff had been accumulated. And when Connie and I got to the camp, we needed money. Well, here was all this steel and stuff, metal, strewn all over the camp. So we started picking it up and loading it on. I went out and bought a trailer, and we started loading up the trailer and taking it down to the junkyard. And they were paying us $15 a pound, or $15 a ton for scrap metal. We raised enough money with scrap metal to refurbish every cabin on the camp, the dining hall and the kitchen. And all these years, the camp had been just collecting all this stuff that people were giving it and not knowing what to do with it. God doesn't like second best. He doesn't want our leftovers. God wants your very best that you can give him. So the time to serve God is before you get involved in worldly activities. Work is a worldly activity. Yes, it's also a duty that God gives us, but we need to give God our very best. And to do that, we need to start off our day with God. It might mean getting up earlier. I am not real happy at 6 o'clock in the morning when my alarm goes off, because that means I've got some time. But I know what I'm going to do with that time. That first hour is a matter of me getting up, getting around, and getting in and reading my Bible and reading my devotion books. There are devotion books at the Welcome Center on that desk. If you have not taken them, take them. That's what they're there for. They're for you to use. Some of those we have to buy. Some of them are donated by the companies who produce them. But there are three of them up there, and they're all good. They will all cause you to think about God and what his purpose for you might be. So if you have not taken them in the past, there's three: My Daily Bread, can't think of the next one.
It's
the same size as My Daily Bread. It's 3 months at a time.
CG?
Well, no, that's another one.
Yeah.
That's a month at a time. But My Daily Bread, and then, anyway.
Isn't the one where all the pastors from all over the country write the devotions? That's
yes.
The
yes.
So good.
Yes. And so that's the way to start your day off. Start it off with your devotions. Think about what the devotion is about that day, and then do your Bible reading. Each of us should be reading 2 or 3 chapters in the Bible every day if we're going to read the Bible through once a year. If you will read 3 chapters a day, then you'll accomplish reading the Bible through once a year. But there are times when we get tired, or there are times that we get up, and like I said this morning, there may be something going on that we don't have time for a devotion. We certainly aren't going to have time during the day. We're not going to feel like it at night when we're tired. So if we're going to serve the Lord, we should give him our very best, the best that we have, not what's left over. You might be a good cook, and your leftovers are much better than my leftovers when I cook, okay? But that's not what God wants. He wants the best. He wants the first class. He always goes first class. If you have a decision to make, should I get this or that for the church, get the very best, because you're giving it to the Lord. And that's what he wants. That's what he uses. We should always do things for the Lord first class. Some people think that Second class is a way of living. I knew a lady at a church that Connie and I were members of, that whenever we would have a dinner, she would go around the church and she would collect all the used tea bags. And Connie and I, when we got to Scotland, were the recipients of a box of used tea bags. They're no good. Oh, you might get a little tea out of them, but not a good cup of tea. And I let the pastor back home know about this, and so people would stop, and when they would get done with a meal, the ladies would rush around and gather up all the drinks and, you know, cups and things. So this lady could not go around and gather used tea bags. That's not the thing to send to a missionary. Send them, buy a box of tea bags and send it to them if you want to send it. If you're going to give a gift, give the best gift you can give. And that's all God expects of you. It doesn't have to be a premier gift. It can be a very simple thing, like a box of tea bags. That would be an appropriate gift for some missionaries on the field because they can't get that kind of a thing. And so you could send that to them, and they would be so grateful to have God who had provided for them something like that. If we're too tired to do our best, then we're too tired to do anything for the Lord. We need to wait till we have recharged our batteries. Have you ever taken the time to sit down and think about why Moses approached Pharaoh and what the reason was that he gave Pharaoh for wanting the children of Israel to leave? Have you ever thought about that? Probably not. Let me give you the first time that he used this expression. It involves God. You find it in Exodus 7, 14 through 16. Exodus 7, 14 through 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee into Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned into a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand, and thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Moses used this phrase at least five times, and he got the same result. God was the one who directed Moses to tell Pharaoh, Let my people go, because God wanted the people to serve him. That is what he still wants today. He wants you and I to serve him in some kind of a capacity. That's what he wanted then. That's what he wants now in this age in which we live. He wants us to serve him. So that purpose that poses the question once again, how will you serve God? Now, there are two New Testament passages for us to read in order to finish this study tonight. The first passage is in Romans, written by Paul. It's in chapter 1, verse 9, Romans 1, 9 through 12. For God is my witness, this is Paul speaking, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. We talked about the God of all comfort this morning. Paul wanted to be comforted with the Romans. He had never been to Rome. He wanted to go there. He had asked God permission to go there. God, would you let me go to Rome? Well, he got an answer. He didn't go the way he thought he was going to go. He thought he would be free, that he would be able to go there and preach and things. God made him a prisoner and sent him to Rome. As a prisoner, he remained a prisoner the entire time. Oh, he had some liberty that he could rent a house, have friends in, have believers in, that he could preach. I don't know what those guards who guarded him every day thought about his preaching. But he preached to the guards. He preached to anybody he had a chance to. So let's look at Paul's service to the Lord. First of all, Paul served with his spirit. In other words, Paul followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in his service for the Lord. Part of that service involved prayer. Paul prayed his way to wherever he went. In this case, he wanted to get to Rome. He eventually got there, but not the way that he anticipated. Like I said, he got there as a prisoner. Eventually, Nero had Paul's head chopped off. I don't think that was what Paul had in mind when he wanted to go to Rome, but that was what the Spirit had Paul to do. A lot of times, service for the Lord doesn't come with a lot of frills. It may involve simple service for the Lord on a day-by-day basis. Let's look at one last passage, Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14 tells us, by the way, that's another book written by Paul, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We're told in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing that you and I can do to save ourselves. We can't work our way to heaven. God saves us, and then it's up to us to perform works for God. The problem is that for many of us, our works are dead. They have no meaning or purpose. Many times we do the works because we think that's what is expected of us. This is the wrong reason for doing any kind of work. We should be doing the work to the very best of our ability. Remember, God does not want leftovers. He wants the best we can give him. He wants to go first class. Has your service for God been the very best that you could provide? Father, we do want to serve you. We do want to give you our best. At least in our minds we do, and in our hearts we do. But Father, we know that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You know it, but we do not. Help us, Father, each one of us, each one here tonight. Help us to serve you with the very best we have. Whatever the ability is that you have given us, help us to use it for thee. Help us to glorify thee with its use. And then, Father, we think about A.B. Campbell tonight, of the problem that he's having with this burn on his leg, of its healing, the lack thereof, of the difficulties that are coming up with it. And Lord, we know that right now he is where you would have him to be. He's at MUSC. Give the doctors wisdom to know what to do. Give the nurses who are attending the doctors the skill they need to do those things. And then, Father, we would ask that you would return him to us, that you would heal him, that you would help him get recovered from this burn. And, Father, that you would, again, use him to serve you here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. We pray for each one of our members, Father. Tonight, we are small in number, but there are a lot of our folks who cannot get here because either they can't see or they have other things that are distracting them. And so, Father, we pray for each one that you will minister to them through your Holy Spirit. And, Father, through them, that you will minister to the people around them through, again, your Holy Spirit, and that you will help each one of us to use the gifts that you have given us for your glory, for your purpose. And, Father, we will praise you for the things that you are doing in each of our lives, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.